Welcome back. In this lesson, we're building a Soul Pride style call and response riff in Ableton Live 12, tuned for rag infused drum and bass chaos. The goal is not just to make a bass line that sounds heavy in solo, but one that feels alive inside a full drop. Think vocal, rude, rhythmic, and able to survive the mix and the master later on. Before we touch the synth, get your drum context in place. Load a simple DNB groove, whether that's a drum rack pattern or a loop from your library. Keep it tight. Kick on the downbeat, snare on 2 and 4, hats pushing the energy, and maybe a chopped break if you want that jungle edge. The drums are your conversation partner here. The bass has to answer them, not fight them. Now create a MIDI track and load Waveedable or Operator. If you're new, Waveedable is the easiest starting point because you can hear the movement quickly. Start simple. Use a saw or square-leaning oscillator, add a second oscillator slightly detuned, and bring in the sob. Keep the filter low pass and don't overdo the resonance. You want a dark, focused tone, not a giant polished supersaw. Add a short amp envelope so the notes hit with attitude and release cleanly. A good beginner sound starts with control. Then we can rough it up. Put saturator after the synth for a bit of grit, then EQ8 to clean up mud if needed. You can also add a compressor if the patch feels uneven, but don't chase perfection yet. This is just your raw instrument, the thing we'll shape into a riff. Now for the important part. Write the call first. Don't try to make a long melody. In DNB, especially rag-influenced stuff, power usually comes from rhythm and attitude, not note count. Place one short phrase in bar one using just one or two strong notes. Start on a low root note, then maybe jump to a fifth or repeat the note with a different rhythm. Leave space. Let the drums breathe. A simple way to think about it is like this. The bass says, "Here I come." So maybe the first note lands right on the beat, then another note answers a little later, then a short stab before the bar opens up again. Keep the notes short at first, somewhere around a 16th to an 8th note, and don't be afraid to leave gaps. Those gaps are part of the groove. Now build the response in bar 2. This is where the call and response really comes alive. The response should contrast the call, not copy it exactly. If the call was low and punchy, the response can be lower, longer, shifted later, or a little more aggressive. One easy trick is to duplicate bar 1 into bar 2. Then change one thing. Drop the last note down an octave, move a note earlier or later, or lengthen one note so it feels like the bass is leaning back in the bar. If you're unsure, keep the same notes but change the rhythm. That alone can make the second bar feel like a proper reply. In drum and bass, that contrast is everything. It keeps the bassline feeling like a conversation instead of a loop. Now let's make sure the sub behaves. This is where beginner basslines often fall apart. DNB mastering loves a stable, mono-friendly low end. If your bass has stereo spread down low, simplify it. Use utility to test mono, and keep the width at zero if needed. If you want to split the sub and mid bass, that's a great approach too. One layer handles the clean low end, and another handles the character and distortion. As a rough guide, keep the sub below about 80 to 120 Hz and let the mid bass live above that. Also, watch your levels. You want headroom. Don't crush the bass just because it sounds exciting loud. A solid target is keeping the bass peaking around -8 to -6 dB before any mastering chain. That gives you room to finish the track properly later. Next, add movement and aggression with a simple effects chain. Saturator first, then auto filter, then EQ8, with maybe overdrive or drum bus if you need a little more attitude. Keep the saturator drive modest, maybe 2 to 6 dB, and use soft clip if it helps. On the filter, automate the cutoff so the response phrase opens up a bit more than the call. That tiny move can make the bass feel like it's speaking louder, without actually getting much louder. This is a good moment for a teacher-style reminder. If the riff sounds flat, change the rhythm first, then the octave, then the sound design. Beginners often reach for more distortion, but the real fix is often in the timing. Where the note starts matters just as much as what note it is. Note starts are accents. Let's shape the groove with velocity and note length. Make the first call note shorter and a little more forceful. Let the answer note ring a bit longer. Use velocity contrast too, if your synth responds to it. One note can sit around 90 to 110, while another sits lower, maybe 60 to 80. That difference helps the line feel human, even though it's still tight and machine-driven. If you want the bass to feel more alive with the drums, add a break chop or a few percussion accents that mirror the bass phrasing. A tiny ghost snare before the response, or a hat accent landing with the answer, can make the whole groove feel like it's talking to itself. That's especially effective in jungle-leaning drops. Now arrange it like a proper drop. Keep the first four bars focused on introducing the call and response. In bars 5 to 8, repeat it with a tiny twist. Maybe remove one note, maybe make the response lower, maybe add a little more drive. Then in bars 9 to 12, pull something back so the listener feels the shape of the section. Finally, bring the full pattern back with confidence. A useful arrangement trick is to drop the bass out for half a beat, before a fill or transition. That little vacuum makes the next hit feel huge. It's a small move, but in drum and bass, small moves can hit like a truck. Before you finish, check the loop in context and at low volume. This is one of the most important habits you can build. If the bass still feels clear and rude quietly, it's much more likely to survive on a bigger system. Listen in mono too. Make sure the sub doesn't bash, make sure the snare still cracks through, and make sure the bass isn't swallowing the backbeat. If the sound feels too big, but not actually powerful, reduce the stereo spread and clean up the mid-range. If it feels too small, don't just turn it up. Add harmonics with a little more saturation, or make the rhythm more decisive. Often the energy comes from phrasing, not volume. And here's the big takeaway for this lesson. Think in phrases, not patterns. A good rag-infused ENB bassline should feel like a spoken sentence. One idea in the first bar, then a reply in the second bar. That's what gives it soul, pride, and attitude. So for your practice, make one two-bar loop with a drum groove, a simple wavy-double patch, a clear call, a contrasting response, one automation move, and a mono check. Then bounce or resample it and listen back without touching anything. If it still feels exciting after that pause, you're onto something real. Remember the recipe, keep the sub clean, use small pitch and rhythm changes, add light saturation and filter movement, and always test against the drums. In DNB, the best basslines don't just sound heavy, they feel like they're talking back.